It can be a mistake if we get in a hurry, yes, worshiping the Lord and worshiping Him and putting Him first. We all, everybody say, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And all these things shall be added to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to take this, just take a few moments here and get Brandon to, I don't want to catch him off guard. He doesn't have to. Just kind of let the church know what the youth have been doing, and or Casey can, either way. And just take just a few moments just to let them know about the outreaches we've been doing at the mall, and just kind of let them know. And we invite other youth. If you're not involved with the youth here, we invite you to become a part of that. And if you feel led, you can go ahead and make your way. If not, I can talk about it for you if you'd like me to. Okay. Praise the Lord.
I was just thinking of the goodness of God and, man, what He's done in my life. Man, if you know me a few years ago, you know that I wouldn't be one going out sharing the gospel with people, because I lived in fear. And honestly, I didn't know how to share the gospel. I really did. For one, I didn't know who I was in Christ. But, man, He showed me. He showed me over the last 3 years who I am. And we are called to go out and spread the gospel and show the love of Christ. And I didn't know how to do that. But the closer I got to Him, the closer I got in His presence, that fear is gone.
Thank you, Lord.
I think that's why I'm so passionate about us going out. And this is really the last 2 months. To teach them to share the gospel, not be afraid. I don't like using the word ashamed, because I wasn't ashamed. I just didn't know how to do it. And so we're trying to teach them, you can go, you can do it wherever you're at. You don't need me to go with you. You believe that? You got Christ. You don't need me. Amen. And we can share this gospel. We share the love of Christ. And, man, we walked through the mall, and Sam said the best, people are hungry. You can see it on their faces. They're hungry. And, man, we encountered a lot of people and just prayed with people. And we want to continue to do this. We do it every couple weeks on a Monday. Not only does it help us individually, it helps us grow together. Just imagine, church, if we got out and we just shared the gospel together. Man. I cry a lot because my tears, that's my worship. And I'm so overwhelmed by His goodness. When I fall, He's there to pick me up. Always. So I have to tell people. I have to. He's put it in my spirit that you have to go tell people about the goodness of God. You don't have to suffer in the life, that the things that you go through. There's hope. We have a promise. And so and I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud of them. And they represent the church in a great way. But more importantly, they represent Him, Christ.
Amen.
And I say this all the time, we have the best pastor in the world. Amen. We do. He's always encouraged us and backed us up. And, you know, I always go to Him and whenever we want to do stuff and, you know, get His thoughts and prayers on that. And He's always supportive. He's always supportive. And I love Him for that. And this is just not for the youth. This is for all of us. You can come with us. You can do it wherever you're at, on your job. Hey, it's helped me on my job the last few months. Just to, I mean, people knew that I was a Christian, but to actually be open and talk about it. Hey, will you come pray with me? It's nothing that I do, but trust me. If you know me 3 years ago, I wouldn't be standing right here talking in front of you. Because I lived in fear. But you don't have to live in fear. You are an overcomer. You are a warrior. And you are to share the gospel with people. And I tell you, we pray with a... I just want to tell you this one instance. This man and this girl was walking by. And, you know, we just introduced ourselves. And we asked if, you know, can we pray with you? And he just kind of looked at us. And he kind of stopped me. He said, well, you know what? He mentioned that that day was his wife's birthday. And none of her family had called, you know, and wished her happy birthday or whatever. He said, when I come back out, I'll go get my wife. And, you know, you can pray with her. You know, so he goes in, and we're still out there, and he comes back out. He goes out and gets his wife, and they pull up. And, man, she was just heartbroken. And I felt bad for her. So we just started praying over her, started praying blessing over her. And, man, what an awesome feeling. God really showed up. And she asked us what church, and I believe this, we will see them out here visiting. God showed me that family will come out here and visit. And she asked us what church we went to. And so we shared that with her. And I want to share one more thing. We don't go out to get people to come to church here. That's not my agenda. That's not what we do at all. We're just there to share the gospel with people. If they want to come Amen. To church with us, of course we want them to come. That's not right. Why we go out.
Amen.
And this is really for anybody. And you guys are more than welcome to come with us. Or what do we just split up and we just go pray with people. And it's awesome. And it helps you grow. It's helped me grow tremendous. And I love them. I love being a part. And I thank Casey. I thank him for helping us. And that's really what we needed. It really was. And man, we're in this together, church. Just imagine if each one of us told two people about Christ and just loved on them. They don't need to know what they're doing wrong. They already know it if you just loved on them. Because, man, he loves me. And he loves you. And I thank you. And I thank Pastor Sam. I love you, brother. I tell you this
love you.
A million times. But he's awesome. And God is awesome.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that. Because I went with him. Was it Monday? Monday, yes. And it really strengthened me and inspired me. And you guys blessed me. Seeing you pray for people you never met before. You got a lot of courage. So let's give the Lord a hand clap and them a hand clap for. Amen. All right, y'all ready for the word?
Amen.
All right, John chapter 16. And we're going to read a few scriptures here this morning. But I want you to mark, if we don't get the verses on the screen, because something happened to the computer earlier, so we can... do it this way. I want you to mark John 16, and we'll read those other scriptures, and we'll come back to John 16. And so, okay, we've been preaching on the Holy Spirit, and last week we were preaching on a pure language, God's language, on how you can pray in the Spirit, praying in the language of the Holy Spirit. And so today we're going to preach on who the Holy Spirit is. And I just want to tell you before we read this verse of scripture that the Holy Spirit is not an it. And that the Holy Spirit is not a force. May the force be with you, you know, Star Wars. It's not that. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit is God. And in John chapter 6, John chapter 16, verse 16 through 17. Praise the Lord. And he says, you got the right scripture there. We'll read that one. I'm getting them mixed up. This is what Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everybody say, helper. That he may abide with you forever. Now, the main context of this passage from John chapter 14 to John chapter 16, Jesus says, if I go away, I will come again. Right? I receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But while he's at the right hand of the Father, he has sent us another helper. Now, the King James renders it as comforter, helper. In 1 John, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the advocate. He's our advocate. He's our comforter. He's our helper. The Greek word for a helper here is parakletos. And that's the word we get for to walk alongside of you. When you become a born-again believer in Christ Jesus, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you. And he is walking alongside of you as a believer. Wow, isn't that great? That right there, we just preached enough right there. So God, the Holy Spirit, is walking alongside of you. The para, like as a paragraph. Paragraph, you know, you got the sentences that are beside each other, right, in a paragraph. That's the way that the Holy Spirit, the helper, the parakletos, he is walking alongside of us there to encourage us and to help us, to comfort us. And let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 26. This is what Jesus said. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Okay, let's turn to 16, verse 7. This is what Jesus said. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 12 through 13 in chapter 16. This is what he says. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Okay, let's put it in park right there. For people who say the Holy Spirit doesn't speak today, and that God doesn't speak today, that God stopped speaking in AD 393, that it ended with the last verse in Revelation, this verse right here refutes that and tears that argument, throws that argument in the water. God still speaks today. And if you have a preacher that tells you that God does not speak today and that the Holy Spirit does not speak today, you ask him this question: how did you get called to preach? Amen, amen, church. And then he said, and then tell him this: give me book, chapter, and verse where God called you to preach. God, see, God still speaks today. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. So God still speaks today. Today, the Holy Spirit still speaks. God, the Holy Spirit, and so he's the comforter. He's the helper. And God is there with us. And the Holy Spirit is not just here for looks. He's here to glorify Jesus. Amen. He's here to glorify Jesus. And when we begin to talk about Jesus, we begin to preach Jesus, things begin to happen. Healing begins to happen. The power of God is demonstrated. So thank God for that the Holy Spirit is active in our lives. Okay, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our helper. We already said that. He helps us in what to say or not to say. How many's ever been there where you're about to say something and he says, don't go there? Amen. Right? Or he tells you to say something and you're like, do I really need to say that? Is this you, Lord? Is this you, Lord? He's our helper. He's there with us to help us in our time of need in those situations in our lives. We'll say this sometimes. I shouldn't say this, but, and we'll say it, and then we're like, man, I shouldn't have said that. Right? So that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And let me tell you something. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. It's in the power of the tongue. So we need to obey the Lord with our words and with our conduct. And so, okay, John chapter 16, verse 8 through 11. And you say, Pastor, you are giving a lot of scripture this morning. It's called the Word of God. And we're here to preach the Word of God today. Amen. Okay, John chapter 16, verse 8. Okay. And when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict. Another word for convict there is convince. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So he'll convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. Next verse, of righteousness, and this is my favorite part here, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Okay, go back to verse 9. He says, of sin because they do not believe in me. The reason why, listen very carefully, the reason why the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin is because if you never believe you're a sinner, you'll never believe you need a Savior. Amen. So I've come to the point where, man, I am nothing without God. I've got to believe in Him. So the Holy Spirit draws me to the Father. If not for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't get saved. So thank God for the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, it says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, except by the Spirit of God. See, you can't get saved until you know you need a Savior. If you've been saved, you will remember the overwhelming conviction of sin. I remember when I got saved. I was crying in the seat, ran to the altar, cried. I didn't have to ask anybody. I knew. I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit right there. I was convicted of my sin. I remember that. I was 8 years old. I remember the Lord convicted me in my heart of sin. I was like, Lord, I need a Savior. I need you. And man, I got saved. Hallelujah. Something to shout about. So the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus. And He does this so we will believe in Jesus. Okay, everybody say conviction. Conviction. Another word for convict. Conviction is convince. In Acts chapter 24, verse 25, Paul is ministering to Felix. And this is what it says. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now, and when I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. Okay, Paul is preaching to Felix. What's happening to Felix right now? Conviction. He's convicted. So he says, I don't want to hear it no more. Leave. You know, you told me about this, and I just don't want to do this right now. I just don't want to change my life right now. Now, there you can ignore conviction. How many knows that? You can ignore that and say, you know, I think I would just want to live this lifestyle, live this way. But the Holy Spirit is still pursuing you this morning. Yeah. And if you're not in a right relationship with the Lord, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is still chasing after you. Yeah. Amen, church. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Pharaoh was another one who ignored conviction. Over and over. See, Pharaoh seen the miracles of God. Ignored conviction. So the point here is, don't ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you feel listen, you don't have to have anybody else tell you. When you know God's talking to your heart, you better obey. Look at your neighbor and say, you better obey. Yes. Better obey the Holy Spirit. And so, okay, go to verse 10, back to John. I'm giving Dennis a hard time here. In chapter 16, verse 10, he says, of righteousness, okay? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus restored the relationship between you and the Father. And the Holy Spirit says He will convict us of righteousness. Listen now, of righteousness, not righteous living. Although the Holy Spirit does convict us of holy living, righteous living. But in this verse, He says He'll convict us of righteousness. Okay, let me tell you what righteousness means. It's a big word for us all, theological word. But righteousness means this. It means right standing with God. So the Holy Spirit's role is not just to convince me that I need a Savior of sin. The Holy Spirit's role is to convince me of my right standing with God. And this is not really taught a lot in churches today. We hear a lot about the conviction of sin, the conviction. But the Holy Spirit also wants to convince you of your assurance, your righteousness in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, preach on, preacher. You want to get some deliverance right here through this teaching. Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to convince us of this. He wants to convince you that because you believe in Jesus, you have right standing with God. All right, y'all ready for some more word? Romans chapter 5, verse 16 through 17. This is what Paul said in Romans. And if y'all wonder why I'm pointing that way, it's because I can see the verse that way. So don't mean to confuse you. Okay, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, everybody say free. Hallelujah. Which came from many offenses resulted in justification. And go to the next verse there if you can, in verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, everybody say much more?
Much more.
Much more those who receive abundance of grace. How much grace? And of the gift of righteousness. Now, is righteousness earned? And of the gift, is it free?
Yes.
It's free. And of the free gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Okay, I got a question. Could it be that the reason why we don't reign in life is that we ignore the conviction that the Holy Spirit is telling us we're righteous in Christ Jesus? Could it be that the reason why we don't reign in life is because we are trying to earn righteousness and we are trying to work our way into heaven and we don't give God... Listen, you take all the praise from God when you say some of your efforts account for your righteousness in Christ Jesus. Amen, church. Righteousness. Is it free?
Amen.
Is there anything you do to earn it?
No.
How are you righteous? Through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? You say, Pastor, that's simple. I made it that way. So you'll be delivered from a works mentality and get into a grace mentality and let the Spirit reign in your life. Listen, He wants you to reign as a king. But you can't reign as a king if you're taking all the credit. He can't reign as a king in your life if you're taking... Listen, you can reign as a king if you'll receive the abundance of grace. What does grace mean? Unmerited favor. Unearned favor. It's nothing you did. It's all because of what Jesus did. And how do you get this abundance of grace? How do you get this free gift of righteousness? By placing your faith in Him. And you will see the blessings of God come on your life when you stop. Listen, it's not your works. It's all about grace. It's all about what Jesus did. Listen, the law is about what you did, but grace is about what He did. And if you'll focus on that and say, you know what? It's all because of Jesus. You'll start seeing grace piling on top of each, blessings piling on top of each other, because you are focused on the blesser and not just the blessing. It's all because of the blesser. We have the abundance of grace. We have the free gift of righteousness. But sometimes we are too stubborn to receive it. We think we have to work for it. We think we have to earn it. We think we have to earn the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We think we have to earn these things. But it is given to you through Jesus Christ. If you want grace, if you want blessing, if you want a change, if you want a transformation, if you want to reign in life, receive the free gift of righteousness. And that's a whole lot better news than CNN or Fox News could give you any day. Amen, church. So He wants to convince us of our righteousness. Everybody say much more. Do y'all see those two words right there, much more? Okay. In John 16, He says He's going to convict us of sin, right? He's convicted me of sin. Much more, He's going to convict me of my righteousness. Some of us got it, some of us didn't. But much more, He's going to convict me of my righteousness in Christ Jesus. This is why the gospel is sometimes hard for people to receive, because it's too good to be true, they say. But it's free, and you believe in it by faith. Amen. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. And with the heart, we believe unto righteousness. Amen, church. Everybody say, this is good news. How many's read the story of the prodigal son? The son leaves the father, takes his money, right? His inheritance. He squanders his inheritance. And when he comes back, go to the next one there, Dennis, in Luke chapter 15. And when he comes back, when the prodigal son comes back home, he said, maybe I can be like one of his hired servants. Did y'all catch that? Well, a hired servant is someone who works for somebody. You with me? And the father is on the porch waiting for the son to come home, waiting for him. And the father runs to the son when he sees him.
Amen.
Runs to the son. And he said, and the son had this mentality. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. Next verse. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, did we not just read that the Holy Spirit will convince you of your righteousness in Christ Jesus? But a lot of times we don't have the confidence, and we'll listen to our own guilt, to our own shame, and we'll listen to other people over what the Bible says. And so he had it in his mind, make me like one of your hired servants. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 16, it says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that he is Abba, Father, and that we are the sons and daughters of God. So you don't, listen, for those of you that's been astray, you've been astray, you feel like God doesn't look at you the same, you feel like you've blew it time and time again. You blew it last week, you blew it 2 weeks ago, you blew it this morning on the way to church because you got upset, lost your temper over something. Amen. But here's the thing. As he is, so are we in this world. So the thing we have to focus on is that, yes, he convicted me of my sin. Yes, but now he's going to convince me of my righteousness in him. And I've got to focus on that, because if I don't focus that he's convinced me of my righteousness, I'm going to live in defeat all the time. God don't love me. God don't care for me. He's not there for me. Look here. For you, Paul said, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. If you live in fear serving the Lord, then you got the wrong mentality. You're looking at it wrong. You shouldn't be fearful. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Next verse, in verse 16. And the Spirit himself. Who are we talking about this morning? The Holy Spirit. And the Spirit himself. You don't have to have anybody tell you. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
Hallelujah.
All right, can I preach a little bit right here? I don't care what people say. I don't care what the enemy says. I don't care what, if people try to put condemnation in my life and say, I'm holding your past against you. You're not really saved. Listen, you need to tell them to shut up, because you know what the Word of God says. That the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. Nobody can talk you out of it. Nobody can persuade you out of it, because the Holy Spirit is living in you and has convinced you of your righteousness. Yes, he convicted us of our sin, but the Holy Spirit is convincing me that the blood is enough. The blood is enough to wash away my sins. The blood is enough to cover my past. The blood is enough. Thank God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus. I'm covered in his blood. I blew it last week, but I'm covered in his blood. The Holy Spirit does a good job convincing me of my right standing with God. Well, hallelujah, church.
Amen.
How many thanks God for the Word?
Hallelujah.
And if you're not convinced yet, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, but of him you are in who? And he became for us what? And what else? Right standing with God, and sanctification and redemption. Who's responsible for our sanctification? Who's responsible for our righteousness? Who's responsible for our redemption? It is through Jesus. And if you'll understand that Jesus did it all, you'll reign as a king. You'll reign as a son of God, as a daughter of God, because you understand that God did it all and you came to him by faith.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Hallelujah. He became for us because I couldn't become it. Amen. I don't know if that's right grammar, but you know what I'm saying. He became for us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 11 of chapter 16, he says of judgment. We've talked about convincing of sin. We talked about convincing of righteousness. Now we're going to talk about convincing of judgment. You're really going to shout over this one. Hallelujah. Convincing of judgment. All right. He might put it on the wall there, but I'll read it off here. Verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judge, okay? It's talking about our enemy there. Of judgment. Satan is about to be dethroned. Praise the Lord. This is good. Jesus is prophesying here, and he's going to strip the devil of his power. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and then I'll tell you more about this verse. Now, these three verses that we're preaching on this morning, of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, we've interpreted these verses this way. You're a sinner. You're not living right. God's going to get you. He's going to get you. We've interpreted those verses that way. But let me tell you how we need to interpret it. He's going to convict you of your need for a Savior. And once you accept that Savior, He convicts you that you are now in right standing with God. And now that you are in right standing with God, He also convicts you that Satan has had all his authority taken away, and he has no more authority over you. Now, are you going to believe the Word? Are you going to believe the devil? Are you going to believe the Holy Spirit? You going to believe? I think I'm going to believe the Word of God. And when Jesus said, "It is finished, the ruler of the world is judged," Satan had his authority taken away from him, because Jesus said, "I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And that was a scripture there telling us that Satan has lost his authority. He's lost his power. And in Colossians chapter 2, it says that he disarmed the demons. He disarmed the principalities, all because of what he did on the cross. So not only is the Holy Spirit so gentle enough to tell you of your need, He's going to convince you of your right standing with God, and He's not going to stop there. He's going to tell you that the ruler of this world is judged, and that he has no more authority over you, because he can't do anything with someone who has the same righteousness as Jesus Christ. Let me jump up and down for a minute. Thank you, Lord, for joy. Thank you, Lord, for peace. Thank you, Lord, for righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for sanctification. Thank you, Lord, for redemption. Thank God. I should have received the judgment, but he judged my enemy. He judged my enemy. He came to love me. He came to fill me with his Spirit. Everybody say, preach on.
Preach on.
Hallelujah. The Word of God is powerful. It's full of energy. Ready to save us and change us. Praise God. See, listen. If it's the Holy Spirit's role to convince you of your righteousness, then what do you think the enemy will do? He'll try to unconvince you. I don't know if that's a real word, but you know what I'm saying. He'll try to unconvince you of your righteousness, of your assurance. So when condemnation comes your way, you need to quote the Word. Quote it, quote it, quote it. It's what Jesus did. Quote it. One of the verses I quote all the time, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I don't live under condemnation no more. If I make a mistake, I don't run from God, I run to Him.
Amen. Right?
Amen. Right? You blow it last week, you don't run from God, you run to Him. Yeah. What did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? They hid from God.
Yeah.
You know why? Right? Now Jesus shed His blood on the cross. Now we can enter what? You Bible scholars help me. Now we can enter boldly into the presence of God, to the throne of grace, Hebrews chapter 4. So now we can enter boldly before the throne of grace. And for those of you, if you haven't gave your heart to God, what are you waiting on? The Holy Spirit is here to convince you. The Holy Spirit is wanting you to reign in life. Everybody say reign.
Reign
in life. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Everybody say, I love the Word. You see that word persuaded? Paul says, for I am convinced. What's another word for persuaded? Hallelujah. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, that's what principalities are, nor angels nor demons nor powers nor things present or things to come shall be able to separate me from the love of God. And that's what he says in this chapter. What is Paul saying? Paul is so convinced. He's saying that the Holy Spirit has convinced me and persuaded me so much that nothing will be able to separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. And he's saying right here, when we read that principalities, he's saying that the enemy has no authority over you. Listen now. But if you don't believe that you're righteous in Christ Jesus, the devil will exercise his authority over you, because you gave it to him. You with me? But I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. You say, Brother Sam, I know what you said last week. You call yourself a pastor. I'm in the blood. I'm under the blood. Everybody say, I'm under the blood. Pastor, you're telling people it's okay to sin. No, I'm not. I just know we're not perfect. I know we're not perfect, and I know that God has called us to holy living, but we can't, even our best work cannot save us.
Right.
Even our best work. It's only the work of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, it's the work of Jesus.
The work of Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning?
Yes.
I said, are you persuaded?
Yes.
Glory to God. See, when you leave here today, when you leave here today, you need to be convinced that Satan has no authority over you and that you are righteous in Christ Jesus by the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to have you can have peace and joy and not be worried. Am I saved or not? Am I saved or not? No, you're saved. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. God still speaks.
Amen.
You remember that verse I quoted, we read a while ago? The Holy Spirit said, I still have many things to say to you. But he told the disciples, you can't bear them right now. Meaning he still has a lot of things to say to us.
Amen.
Everybody say, God still speaks.
God still speaks.
He still speaks. All right. He's my helper. That was point one. Hallelujah. He's my friend. He's my friend, and he's not weird. Amen, church.
Amen.
A lot of people think when we talk about the Holy Spirit, man, it's weird. It's too weird. Listen, some people are weird with the Holy Spirit and without the Holy Spirit. They're just weird guys, okay?
Yeah.
Right? And there's been misrepresentations of the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Misunderstandings of the Holy Spirit. And you hear people say, you better watch those people that talk about the Holy Spirit. You know what they're saying? You know what they're saying? You better watch those people that talk about God. You better watch those people that talk about God. Guys, that's wrong.
Amen.
If you hear anybody say, you better watch those people talk about the Holy Spirit, that's wrong, guys. The Holy Spirit is God.
Amen.
He's a person. Amen, church.
Amen.
And he doesn't need to be misrepresented. He gives us the power to witness. He gives us the power to love, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Amen, church.
Amen.
He's God. He's God. Are you convinced of your righteousness this morning? See, if you're convinced of your righteousness and you believe it by faith, then don't condemn yourself. Did you know if you condemn yourself all the time, you won't be able to go forward in your walk with God? You won't be able to go forward? The question this morning remains, who is he? Who is he? He's our helper and he's our friend. Not only is he our helper and our friend, but he's God. He's God. And he is here to walk alongside of us, to encourage us, to exhort us, to edify us, and to comfort us. And he is here. And for those of you, if you want the fullness of the Spirit this morning, why don't you start claiming these verses in your life? This is why we have the Holy Spirit. This is why the Holy Spirit is here, to convince us. To convince us of our righteousness, to convince us of judgment, because the prince of this world, right, is judged. The ruler of this world, he's judged. All we have to do is place our faith in Christ Jesus, right? I'm almost done. People who are really hard on others. Let me explain when I say people who are really hard on others. They're really hard on others. They can't do nothing right. You with me? Are y'all still with me? Can't do nothing right. Can't please them. The reason why they're like that is because they have a heart of condemnation and they condemn themselves. People who condemn others all the time, talk about other people, are living in self-condemnation themselves.
Amen.
I can't believe that person did that. I can't believe that person did that, because it's self-reflective.
Yep.
Are you with me, church? If you want to be free, if you want to be free this morning, why don't you obey the word and say, you know what? Holy Spirit, I let you take reign in my life. You're really good at convincing yourself that you're condemned. It's quiet this morning. Not really. Y'all are really saying amen a lot. We're really good at convincing ourselves that we're no good. That we're not worthy. You remember we read about the prodigal son? Let me come back as one of your hired servants. The Lord don't do no hiring in the kingdom. When did we ever get to the point that this was some kind of business? That this was some kind of a transaction deal? Like, Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. Really? Really? It's a business now? God don't work on that system. God doesn't work on a merit system. He doesn't work on a brownie point system.
That's right.
God works on a grace system. And for those of you, you may be straying, you need prayer, you want to listen to the Holy Spirit, I call you up here right now. The Holy Spirit, listen, it's not me. The Holy Spirit's talking to you.
Amen.
You say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to listen to you. Well, how can the Holy Spirit speak to me if I'm still addicted? How can the Holy Spirit speak to me if I'm living in sin and I'm still blowing it and I'm still stuck in this habit? How can the Holy Spirit speak to me? What did the father do with the prodigal son? See, in those days, they wore robes, right? And the father picked up the skirt of his robe. You can read it. It's in chapter 15 of Luke. And in that day, in that culture, you didn't do that. You did not do that. It was not to the culture standards. So he picks up the skirt of his robe and he sees the son afar off and he runs to the son. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling you right now. If you'll come to him and if you'll give your life to him, we're going to have a party. Do you know the Bible says that when someone gets saved, all of heaven rejoices. There's a party in heaven. There's a celebration. I'm going to give two calls here. For those of you, you haven't been listening to the Holy Spirit. You haven't been listening to God. You feel like you've strayed and you feel like God's still keeping these things against you and that God doesn't want anything to do with you. Come. Receive. Don't leave today without receiving. The second call is this. Maybe you're a believer in the Lord and you've been saved and you've been filled with His Spirit, but you haven't been listening to the convincing power of the Holy Spirit about your righteousness in God. Maybe you want to come up here and worship the Lord and say, Lord, I'm so sorry I missed this truth in your word. I'm sorry I missed this truth. I'm going to start listening to you. And actually believe you that I'm right with you. So the Holy Spirit is calling you. It's not me. God's calling you right now. And you say, well, I don't like to go up to the front. I don't like to go up to the front. Well, listen, you can go to the side here. You say, well, I'm afraid of what people will think about me. I'm afraid of what people may say. Listen, we have all fell short of the glory of God. And as a matter of fact, I'd like for y'all to pray for me later on in this service. You will pray for me, right? If you have a need in any area of your life, let's all stand. If you have a need in any area of your life, I want you to come. Receive the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you today. He's a person and He wants to fellowship with you. You know, y'all see like I'm talking to you right now. Y'all see that I'm just talking to you normal. That's the way the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. See, it's one thing to hear the voice of a human, but it's another